those searchlights up on the tower. Right now. Move! Move!
I listen to 2ARM, 92.1 FM, in the car and at work, for great tunes and community news.
Good morning, I'm Herb, and welcome to Community Spotlight. Each Friday, I try and bring somebody in from the community or an organisation to talk about their journey or their event. And today, I have the Urella Wordsworth, and I have Tara Toomey in to help me. Hello, Tara.
Hi, Herb.
Thanks for coming in.
Pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Another cold day.
Yes.
But that's Armidale and that's winter. We might go back and just talk quickly about a little bit about your background. I'm told you're originally from Newcastle.
Yes.
But you came here quite early.
Yes. We moved when I was seven when my mum took a teaching job at Urella Central School. She's a much loved and dedicated public school educator.
Oh, very good. Well, we'll certainly call you a local. I like to think 15 years is pretty well long enough to be a local.
Yeah, well, I'm on the north side of 40 years, so we'll own that.
Yeah, for sure. And your father was a builder.
Yes, Dad is a builder, lifelong builder, and he worked on the Shire. He was a bridge ganger, but first involved in raising the Kentucky Dam Wall, actually, when he first started working for the council, but retired as one of the last timber bridge gang.
Oh, okay. And I suppose a lot of those timber bridges are being replaced with concrete now slowly around
yes.
the place?
Yes, there are none left in Urella Shire now.
Oh, that's a bit of a boon for Urella.
Yeah, no, they've done well.
Now, you went to school, primary school in Urella?
I did, yes.
And high school in Armidale?
I did, yes. There was no year 11 and 12 at Urella Central when I was at Urella Central because I'm quite old. But so Armidale was kind of a solution for me, yeah.
Which high school?
I went to Neagues.
Oh, nice.
Yes, I was very grateful for that opportunity and appreciate my parents' investment in me.
Well, what did you find about Neagues? What were some of the highlights of being a Neagues girl?
Look, for me, it was a fresh start. So it was just a whole new world of opportunity. And I particularly had always loved the ancient world. So I really loved that I could study literature and ancient history, modern history, as well as computing science. I think I was in the second cohort of kids that did computer science for the HSC, which is still something I love.
So you went through Neagues the whole from year 7 through to 12?
Yeah, 7 to 12.
Oh, very nice. Did you do any horse riding?
Not at Neagues, no. That was beyond the budget. But I did work pretty hard from berry picking for many years and saved up to buy my own horse, which lived in my backyard. We lived in a house in town that had a horse paddock, one of the old horse paddock behind our house. So I was really grateful that I had a horse, just privately. We had some other friends in town who had horses and we used to ride all the time.
Oh, that would have been lovely weekends, particularly during the summer.
Fabulous. I mean, it's a golden childhood, really, when I look back. I think we're incredibly fortunate.
Down to the Gwydir River?
Yeah, well, we used to go a fair bit out west to friends' places, so, yeah, it was lovely.
And you talked about the ancient world, so you went to, no surprise then, you went to UNE and studied in that field?
Yes, classics, ancient history, archaeology, and I was very fortunate to be awarded a scholarship to go and work on an archaeological survey project in Greece. So that was a real dream come true. I was fortunate being there as part of the Australian Archaeological Institute in Athens. I did have a very gold-plated pass, I felt, and I could visit any of the sites for free. But I was really fortunate. We were down in Arcadia as well as spending some time in Athens.
Oh, nice. And how long did archaeology take your time?
Not long enough, but I came back with a desire to enter the business world. So I did spend a few years in Sydney, and then I've really travelled back to Greece post that, really as a hobby and to take my kids and my husband, which has been a real joy to be able to do that. I studied a graduate diploma in legal studies as part of working in dispute resolution in the insurance industry, which, oddly enough, was where I landed after archaeology.
And then you came back to Urella.
Yes. So I took that job in Sydney really to get experience that I hoped would stand me in good stead for life back in Urella. I always wanted to be self-employed, but I didn't quite know what that would look like. So I came back with skills that would hopefully be in either sort of field. And I spent some time working at the UNE and then started my own business after my family started my family.
And what was that business?
I run a bed and breakfast. I have a small handmade food business. And then I started Seasons of New England.
Before we dive right into Urella Wordsworth, we'll talk about Seasons of New England. When did that all sort of kick off?
The first event was in March 2014, and I took a 12 months prior to that to start planning. So by that stage, I had Jacob was 5 and Helena was 2. So I had my two children then.
So what was Seasons New England? Where did that all come from?
Well, I was a food business as well, attending markets, and we just found it incredibly hard to be found year-round, and we were felt quite lost in the landscape. So we wanted to start and create a platform where we were found year-round, but also where we were valued for a handmade product, and the quality of the product we were producing was valued. It was really disheartening to stand next to a mass-produced product, for example. So we wanted to create a space where people who made what they sell and were based in the New England and reflected this fabulous area that we love to call home, where they could be valued and found as well. So that's really the kernel of purpose that we've retained throughout the last, 12, 13 years now.
So what month is Seasons New England?
March, end of March.
So end of March each year there's a festival.
Yes, and now over 2 days. At the Sunny Jim Mackay Oval in Euralla, the corner of King and Maitland Streets. Okay. Used to be called Hampton Park.
Am I right, there's about 160... stall holders?
Yeah, over the 2 days. So there's 100 each day, and now that we've got a two-day format, about 20 swap out and we throw 60 new people in on the second day. So we can, we found we had a real problem trying to support the number of talented people that make what they sell here. And so we expanded to the second day, but on the basis of that swap out.
And so it's a requirement that you actually do make something.
Yes.
Is it also a requirement that you have to be in New England?
Yes. Yes.
And what's that catchment area?
There are so many maps, aren't there? It's difficult. We draw the map ourselves. We decided from Tenterfield to Tamworth and Inverell to Dorrigo, all the little villages and hamlets in between. We will blur the boundary a little bit when someone's quite close. We really do respect that. It's as much about the landscape as it is about that hard map, if that makes sense.
No, perfectly understand that. And those items can be anything from soaps to foods, obviously. Timber goods,
yes.
Leatherwork.
Silversmithing, gin, you name it. If it's made here, we will find a way. Authors, we love having authors. You know, we're looking at supporting the High Country Writers at the next event. Lots of talented people. If you're producing something here, we'd really like to bring it to that showcase. It is a great way, we found, for people to then be picked up for, say, getting that bottle of wine in a pub in inner Sydney or getting their handmade range of candles into a shop in Toowoomba, for example. We try and make it that opportunity for retailers from across Australia to come and discover something special to take back to their business.
No, very good. Now, that sort of leads perfectly into the Euralla Wordsworth, because I think one of the things you previously told me about why you started the Wordsworth was produced for about 20, 30 years in the early, and it finished in the early 2000s. You wanted a voice in the community. You wanted the Euralla to have a voice and a free newspaper. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. We had found, particularly with Seasons, that we were trying to send editorial in or some stories into different papers, and we weren't really being responded to or taken seriously. It wasn't deemed perhaps as interesting content for papers in other major centres, and that was very valid. I understood that. So we felt that it was time, after a couple of years of battling that, to really create a space where our own stories could be told. And the purpose of the paper has always been to reflect what's happening in our community and to make sure our community has a space to put their story.
So just tell me about the Wordsworth that used to be a free paper. It was a one-man show. Tell me about that.
I know a little bit about Dave Bracken. He used to run it. He would compile all the content. He really did an incredibly diligent job. He would attend all the sporting events. He would talk to people and get stories in there. And, he did a great job printing the paper. I mean, this is before there was really much of an internet-based newspaper opportunity, and I think he did a great job keeping it running as much as he did.
So you're talking about the 80s through the 90s up to 2000?
I believe so, yes. I'm not completely clear on the dates.
No, well, you've re-established that called the Euralla Wordsworth. Now tell me about the Wordsworth. How did it all start out?
Well, as we were talking about trying to have that voice for our own community, we were also concerned that there was actually a free press. I think in any democratic community you need a free press to tell the stories without fear or favour, and the Wordsworth has always set out to do that. So we started by developing an editorial policy that sat sort of probably as a combination of the ABC and SBS policies, just something that was very politically neutral. And that's been established from the very beginning. We established that before the paper was even first considered. And then an advertising policy alongside that, once we understood what the costs of running and printing the paper would be, things like insurance, websites and printing costs, for example. And so then we started with the first edition, which was the 14th of January 2019, I think. So we're up to the next edition will be edition 173.
And back then you still produce hard copy, but you got internet access as well. You were producing between 600 and 1,000 copies back then?
Yeah, we tried to start, we estimated 1,000 would be what we'd need to print, so we tried to raise advertising revenue around that. But we found very quickly that actually, although we absolutely needed to have a printed copy, that was a big part of our commitment because of the feedback we'd had, that people really don't want to be able to just read it online, they do want a physical copy, that we have been able to reduce that to around 500-600 every edition these days. But sometimes we'll increase that if we got a lot more advertising in and we know it's a hot sort of paper with a lot in it that people will want to spread a little bit more widely in printed copy. We try and make sure there are always enough to go around, but we produce the paper online onto our website, and we have an archive right back to the very first edition where we store them as a PDF that can be printed. And then when we email it to our subscriber base every fortnight on the Monday morning about 7:45, then it is also a printable PDF. And I know a lot of people actually, you know, print off from that as well if they haven't been able to get in town or get to their nearest general store to get a hard copy.
So you tell me that you can get the hard copies from certain outlets in Yooralla.
Yes.
And that's available because it's printed fortnightly. On that Monday, it's available as of Monday afternoon on the day of the release. Now, what are those outlets?
So it's Foodworks takes the bulk of our printing, and people often pick up from there to take out to other locations. But it's also delivered to Dale's Downtown Meats in Yooralla, to Moon's Bakery, and to Seasons of New England store in Yooralla as well.
And they're mostly all in the main street.
They are. And also, I should add, we do have someone who regularly, I know, always takes copies to the Invergarry General Store and to JJ's and Cars 8 news agencies here in Armidale.
All right. So it is available in Armidale as well, which is good, and obviously on the internet. Now, I just want to go quickly to COVID. So COVID was a difficult time for us all, but the Yooralla Wordsworth still soldiered on.
Yes.
As did the 2ARM community radio station.
Yes.
Providing all advice for testing stations, vaccination and all that type of thing. But what was Yooralla Wordsworth doing for the community in COVID?
I think, like 2ARM FM, it just became one of those things. You became so aware of how important any mechanism for community connection was. So we took the view that we would suspend advertising because we were no longer printing. And we, although it's not our only cost, it's obviously the biggest cost, and we suspended advertising but continued to print the paper by putting information in around, obviously the health information, any press release that we thought was relevant, but also things like how is Anzac Day going to operate in April 2020. We tried to provide that, and then we provided stories about how it did actually operate and how people came together on those days. We also published all of the takeaway menus for all of our shops and businesses and anything people were trying to do to stay afloat. We published it, and because it was now only online, the paper became very big, but it meant that also everything was in there. So its circulation really actually quite significantly increased during that time. I don't have the numbers to hand, but I remember thinking our email subscribers really, I think, probably doubled during that time and have sort of maintained a steady growth ever since.
It's quite interesting. The observation I made, or I make, about the Yooralla Wordsworth during COVID was it was trying to assist the community, not alarm the community.
Yes.
Where the popular press and media, it was so alarmist. The number of testings, the number of deaths, and it wasn't just reported from across Australia in different cities, it was across the world.
Mm.
And it was quite alarming. And I don't think the media, the popular media, the popular press, did anything to support the community. All they did was alarm.
Mm.
And that's what we tried. We also tried to support the community of 2ARM with, obviously, the testing stations, keeping a sort of a positive approach, you know, we're going to get out of this type sort of thing. And I did see the Wordsworth do a similar thing, is that, which is probably your mantra anyway, community, assisting the community with information, without being alarmist.
Mm.
You know, it was a difficult time for us all, but I think we got through it. And, you know, free press like Urella Wordsworth helped us through, which is great.
Mm, I think so.
Let's have a think about what we're doing now. So we're basically 2019, we're 2025. How many hard copies do you produce now?
We're still sitting around 500 to 600, and sometimes we'll head up to sort of 700 or 800, depending on what the content is about.
So let's talk about the content. You tell me that it's very community-based.
Yep.
So if we just pull apart the Urella Wordsworth, how do you start off with the first couple of pages?
Well, essentially it's about trawling through all the emails, which we're so grateful that the community drives the content. We are not a paper that employs or writes our own content. We are here as a compiler of a community story. So we look at the press releases given out at all levels of government, but also things that might be relevant from, you know, the Reserve Bank, or sometimes it might be really dry, something from another area. But it's just, if it's relevant and important to our community, as judged by the editor of the day, then they will put that in and find a place for that story. Sometimes it's, you know, we're grateful for written contributions of actual just great storytelling, great poetry. We love our sporting contributions that people are making. There's another couple of people who are talking about sending in even more of that. So things that make it relevant right across our community and keep everyone informed. I think informed is really the key. We love hearing how our sporting teams did, but we also want to know what's going on in government. So we try and make sure that the content is reflective of the breadth of interest in our community so that they understand what's happening around them.
Yeah, I noticed every so often the whole thing about the solar investment in the RES government project that's going right across Urella. That's always a bit of a hot topic from both sides of the coin.
As it should be, and that discussion should always be, you know, frank, fearless and robust, and people should feel safe to express a perspective. And we always hope that the Wordsworth can be that safe space. It certainly is. There's no question that there's any other agenda other than to publish the stories that people want to make sure their fellow community members are aware of.
And I see that on the back page is normally the community calendar.
Yes.
And there's a bit of a funny thing, Uncle Bob and co.
Yes, and I think that community calendar is just so important. It's amazing how much goes on in small regional communities, I think, and there is just so much to get involved in, but you don't know if you don't know. So that calendar provides that really important connection with what's actually happening in our community.
Yeah, I just noticed recently we've had some awards and different things, so that's always reported. The awards that for community service,
yes,
is acknowledged to the community, sort of, so people get to know who's doing valuable things in our community.
Yeah, absolutely, really important. I think they're the stories that would not be published in those bigger papers, and I think that's one of the shining examples of why small community papers are so important to talk about the stories that might otherwise be overlooked.
Yeah, I saw Frank Fletcher in the last publication and his service to Rural Fire Brigade, 30 years I think it was.
Mm.
So that was a big commitment, big volunteer commitment from Frank. How many editors have you got now? You started off, you were the principal editor?
I really was the compiler, and Ross Burnett at Burnett's Bookshop was really doing the editing role. And I really took that very careful position because I was a councillor at the time. So I really deferred to Ross. He would say this on the front page and I would just make adjustments accordingly. However, now that I didn't stand for council at the last election, I did it deliberately so I could have a freer hand, particularly with the Wordsworth, and get more involved. So I'm really glad to be able to put my hand up now to do some editing, one in every four editions, with another lady, Alex, and then Malcolm and Louis, who've been the four. Ross is there, still involved, and, you know, it's a bit of a backup, but not in that editorial role.
Yeah, Louis comes on to Margaret O'Connor's show on Tuesday here at 2ARM and talks about, they pull the Wordsworth to pieces and talk about every page.
Lovely.
Which is quite interesting.
Yeah, it is great. We appreciate that.
It's almost like an audio book, almost.
Yes, that's great.
So you'll have potentially four editors. Now, you still go out on a fortnightly basis. You still do the hard copy plus the online copy.
Yes.
If people want to contribute, How do they contribute?
To contribute editorial content, it's as simple as emailing what it is you want to put in the paper to urallawordsworth@gmail.com. And all of those contributions are filtered, you know, responded to. If the paper's very full and it's not time sensitive, it might go in the next edition. But if it's not, everyone is welcome to contribute. We really value contributions. Sometimes we can stretch the paper to a 16-page edition. It's really just about what's the content that we have on hand. If you're looking to contribute advertising content, then it's a matter of doing the same thing. We are not graphic designers, so we need you to send in what it is you want us to advertise, and we will put that in for you.
So that was editorial content to Urella Wordsworth. So it's all one word, urellawordsworth@gmail.com, and all the editorial you'll have to do yourself, send in. Is there any limits to the number of words that you want to stick to?
Well, we generally
don't want
say
a thesis.
Between no, that's probably not wise. 150 to 200 words max is usually pretty good, or 100 to 150 and a photo is really lovely. We love photos, so that sort of content's really welcome. And look, as long as it's relevant to the Urella Shire, we're really keen to hear from you and to publish those stories. And with advertising, it's the same. It's the same principle. You know, it's anyone can advertise. We do have a need to just be clear that it is actually something that's got a relevance and it's appropriate for the paper.
Yeah, gotcha. And I understand also that you take donations just to support the community newspaper. How do donations work?
Yeah, so we've always had this information on our email newsletter that goes out, just to say if you're in a position to do something, here's our bank details. We bank with Region Australia Bank. You can go and just say money for the Urella Wordsworth. We're about to give some new information around a pay ID that will come into the next paper, as well as information just reiterating the donation opportunity. We have never operated solely on advertising income. As you can appreciate, in a small town with lots of small businesses, that's not actually feasible. So we do rely on a mix of advertising and donations. But people have always been extremely supportive of the paper, whether they've got $5 or $20 or $100. They drop what they can in, and we are really grateful for that support. It does mean that it gets to more, we get to print more sometimes, and we feel that we can, and it will sustain the paper when there are some price increases, as there always are over the years.
Is that the only way you can donate money, is through the bank?
That is what we would prefer. Occasionally someone has dropped into one of the businesses and tried to do it. We do find that a little bit tricky for those businesses to manage when they're trying to run their business. So we have asked if people can go to a Regional Australia Bank branch, but you can go to any branch and make that donation, or you can do it online. There is a funds transfer online option where the bank details are in our newsletter at every time, but we will start having them in the newspaper with a pay ID transfer option as well, to make it as easy as possible. So we have a complete archive right back to the very first edition, all a PDF that is downloadable.
Okay, so Urella Wordsworth, one word?
Yes, .com.au.
.com.au is the website where you can download your PDFs, get your donation details, or access email, urellawordsworth@gmail.com.au. So where are we going into the future with Urella Wordsworth?
I think after this period of time, it's been amazing to see it go from strength to strength as it has. We have had a price increase with printing costs. Obviously, insurances have gone a little bit up. Printing has really become a bigger cost. So we are now, something we hadn't done before, but we are now doing, is talking to some of the renewable energy zone developers who are looking to support entities like ours, and they're helping sustain some of those costs, which is why that balance between donations and advertising is really important. The storytelling is always the magic, I think, in the paper. The way people write about their own challenges and their own points of concern that they want to make sure their neighbours and their friends and their wider community are aware of. I really just hope people continue to grasp the opportunity to tell the story and make sure that the facts of whatever's concerning them, or whatever they find interesting, or whatever's entertaining, is in the paper and is there for everyone to enjoy. It is being, you know, we take it to the National Archive now. It's a recorded paper in that sense. So It's a serious paper. It's not just a little community rag. Something to really be taken seriously and to be valued. And I do feel the community does really value it. I know when the editors go somewhere to say thank you for a donation, they get a genuine warm round of applause, and as they should, they do a great job.
Yes, another observation I've made over the years is the vibrancy in Urella. Maybe we could link Urella Wordsworth positive stories to the vibrancy in Urella, but I'd like to. is that Rella's got its own vibrancy. So you go down there on a Saturday morning or any day, and the street has people, particularly on the weekends. There's a lot of people, and a lot of people come from Armidale and surround to Yarralla for the food. And it's only a little town, but the vibrancy and the positiveness that Yarralla has obviously developed over the years, because it never used to be as vibrant as it is today. And I just wonder if these types of things like the Yarralla Wordsworth, the positiveness, the community support that Yarralla Wordsworth gives the community has helped that vibrancy.
I'd love to think it's one of many things, but I'd like to think it has played a part in helping bring a community cohesion. I think when we have had COVID is one thing, but the res is a whole other thing. There are so many different things that pop up that are really challenging and can be very divisive in small communities. So I do hope that the fact that it's a safe place to talk about what it is that you need to talk about and keep people informed is something that keeps people together rather than operating in vacuums or silos of misinformation. I think information is what it's been all about, and that commitment and the editor's hard work in preserving that has been so important.
Well, I think to be able to provide that community voice, a voice to the community, and allow people to put their positions forward without fear of retribution, because we know about the internet and the armchair warriors and how everybody's got an opinion and all the trolling and all the things that happen on the internet, is that having this community voice where people can safely put their position forward and not be lampooned or suffer as a result is a fantastic thing.
Yes, absolutely. Really, really important.
Well, I think we might tie it up there, Tara. We've just about extended our period. So thank you very much for coming in to Community Radio.
Thank you, Herb. It's been lovely to chat with you.
The Yarralla Wordsworth is a gem in our community, and I wish you all the best for it in the future.
Thank you.
And that's Community Spotlight.
Broadcast, then podcast. If you missed it or want to hear it again, then visit our webpage, 2arm.net.au/podcast. I listen to 2ARM 92.1 FM in the car and at work for great tunes and community news.